ask you to initially put some words about you, your profession, your professional job.
My name is Sten Schöffner, and I'm working with Grundfos, the pump company, for a little more than 25 years now. I am educated as an engineer, and I also have a PhD in engineering. And basically after graduation, then I started to work with Grundfos. And I've been in many different positions at Grundfos, both actually as development engineer, as project manager. I've been 3 years in one of our production facilities in Hungary as a quality and engineering manager. I've spent 10 years in product management. And then for the past 2.5 years, I'm back in product development.
What is the difference from what you did before 2.5 years ago and now?
The big difference is I'm back in product development, and I have a team of around 100 engineers and technicians, so it's a rather large team, and we have the accountability for executing the development and maintenance of our product portfolio in domestic building service. We divisionalized Grundfos 2.5 years ago into 4 different divisions, and within each division, we then have a sort of end-to-end accountability for that part of the business. We have a divisional CEO who's my boss, and again, we have end-to-end functionalities. So together, we lead the DBS business end-to-end, so from product management and business development over project management, as a development of new products over production and also over sales. So we have the full value chain.
Regarding leadership, what's on top of your mind? What do you think is kind of key issues that you need to be aware of and focused on?
For me, leadership is very much around empowering people, to use a typical management phrase, but really to enable my team to really utilize their best abilities to improve the way that we work. It's about having decisions taken at the sort of the lowest possible level, but in fact rather having decisions taken where the competences are.
Yeah.
I think that's super, super important.
You are a very ambitious person who really wants to create results and move ahead, wanting to do that, you need to delegate. That's what you explained. You need to let go of control. Mm-hmm. When do you experience some kind of personal challenge doing that?
And here, I think my biggest challenge is probably that I'm burdened by knowledge, so to speak. As a being an engineer and having worked with these products for 25 years, of course, I have a super deep technical understanding on most of our products. And I also have opinions on not only where we should, what direction we should go in.
So how? But,
exactly. And there I need to control myself from time to time, not to be too directing setting on the technical solutions,
but only how do you succeed with that? What do you actually do?
It's about coaching the people in the best possible sense to sort of being able to take their own decisions.
It sounds like you, one way or the other, are aware of building up psychological safety. You delegate, you confirm that the people are capable of what they're doing, and you are there visible if they need it.
Yes.
So how do you make sure that there are, that you have this trustful climate?
Being always honest to the people, never sort of distrust anybody, and always play with open cards, so to speak. I think that creates the trust that you need, and I think also in a technical organization that you earn the respect from your people partly by being honest and trustworthy, but I can also feel that sort of my technical competence also part of this earning the respect for my people.
Being a very highly skilled engineer, delivering on a very high level of quality, how on earth do you cope with this feeling of doubt? And I claim that to deliver high quality, you have to deal with doubt.
I can fairly quickly sort of make up my mind what I believe is the best way forward. But of course, there is still cases where definitely you are in doubt, and I think another thing is also that even though that you are in doubt, you should not be afraid of taking decisions. And I think that's also I can see some of my people, they need to be 120% sure before they dare take a decision. And here, what can you say, also with my experience and so forth, I can, if I'm 80% sure, then it's good enough for me to take a decision. And that's actually maybe one of the things, if you talk about leadership challenges, that to push the organization in that direction, that you don't need to be, exactly, you don't need to be 100% sure before you take a decision. I think that's one of the challenges that I have.
You have to be able to cope with mistakes because
yes.
They're there. Yes.
Exactly. And some of my people, they have a super hard time with that. They really do not want to make mistakes.
And also having a culture where there's no blame if you make you call it a clever mistake. It's part of building a business. My last question, Steve, from my perspective is, do you have a good advice for an aspiring leader, a young person who are ambitious following the leadership career? What advice would you give?
Yes, that's a super good question. My advice will be, as a first of all always to follow your heart. You need to have passion for the things that you do, and you need to find that passion also in the leadership path. And at least for me, it has also been important to find out what is it actually that motivates me being a leader. And as I said before, for me, it's this about impacting the way that we move ahead and putting my fingerprint on the development on the Grundfos organization. For other leaders, it's something else.
Stine, you talked about the managing the group of 100 engineers and technicians, and I was wondering, so how much do you manage directly? How much do you manage through other managers?
Yes, I have a leadership team of 9 direct reports. Mm-hmm. I have my first of all, my personal assistant. Then I have three project managers who is the project leaders of all our large development projects. I have three now, and then I'm myself interim department managers who are managing the people. I have a delivery manager who is sort of my right arm in managing the sort of portfolio of projects, but 9 to 10 direct reports.
And how much would you say you interact with them versus also interacting with people who report to them, meaning going a bit deeper into the organization?
As a probably 75-25, so 75% as a of my time I interact with my direct reports, and then 25% with their direct reports.
And I'm curious to hear then that 25%, what is the importance of it? You know, because there is that hierarchy and a lot of full responsibilities. What is the importance of those 25%?
Yeah, I think it's super important. I think as a sort of overall leader of the function, I need to be visible to everybody in the organization. I need to sort of be in eye height with them, and honestly, I think this coffee machine talk is super important. As I'm not having my own office. I'm sitting in the open office area that we have, so people can just come and chat with me.
So you are in an industry with global competition, with very different markets, with mm-hmm. very different buying powers, with multiple stakeholders. So you can say there's a lot of complexity. And yes. I was wondering whether you can give us a bit of an idea of how you go about making the important decisions on products, on strategy, on resource allocation.
And that's a very good question. You can say that sort of as the big strategic direction setting is happening in my boss's leadership team, where I'm of course also part of. Then what I'm more discussing in my own leadership team is how do we create the best and most effective setup as an organization in product development in order to execute on these projects. And of course, there's also some big decisions there on how we organize and how we prioritize and set up. We have defined five non-negotiables for the way that we conduct our business. And one of them is that we never take big decisions without sort of having the customers in mind. And being in domestic building service, where the end customer is homeowners like you and me, and where we have our customer base there is probably 2.5 billion people, so it's hard to ask everybody. but of course we have other ways to gather customer intelligence, and we also have a both wholesale and installer network that we of course also engage with. I think in the past, Grundfos has probably been a lot inside out engineering company. That we decided what was best for the customers, and actually we have been pretty successful with that. But moving in particular, moving into the digital age, mm-hmm. where we have new offerings, which we which probably is a little bit intangible for us, then it's just so super important to understand what is it that really creates value for people. And sometimes you're just surprised. We just a small example. We in US, they in many areas they have all their heating system is governed just by one thermostat, which is placed in the living room. And there was a new company that came with a digital version of that, mm-hmm. And which looked a lot more fancy than the existing available things. And you should say, how important can that be? And it was just a massive success.
Mm.
So sometimes it's what really creates success in this new digital offerings market is something which where you cannot use all your past knowledge in order to be sure that you hit right, but you really need to think out of the box and you really need to engage with people who understand the market.
What you know? What are the big business challenges you would say you face?
2.5 years ago, we completely reorganized Grundfos, so almost everybody got a new boss. We changed the organization. We did this divisionalization, and then on top of it, we changed from a waterfall way of working to agile. So it's the most massive change that I've experienced in the 25 years I've been with Grundfos. Empowerment is not only something you give, it's also something that you need to take.
Mm.
So as an employee, you should be motivated and feel confident by having this empowerment to actually take your own decisions, because of course there's also responsibility that follows.
Quickly, a question on the because I imagine you have a very wide product portfolio, and I was wondering whether what do you think of modularization, you know, to manage the complexity of the products moving forward, especially now with digitalization as well of the product, etc. What is the role of modularization that you see moving forward?
It's super, super important. We actually have in our group technology function, we have a fairly large group that only works with architectures and modelization, and it's imperative things to get in order to speed up product development. So this about working with modules and architectures, it's super critical in order for us to be successful. So we work a lot with that, definitely.
The key impression I get when I listen to Steen in every word he says is his meta perspective. He constantly go into the helicopter and finds the bigger need, the bigger issue. And in that process, he accepts all kinds of challenges and complexities to solve the problem, to create the best context, to do the best for Grundfos. So that it's, I mean, he's very, very value driven. And being that, it sounds like he's constantly aware. What do I then need to be aware of? Whether it might be individuals, humans, technical problems, systemic issues in the system, he will, from his meta perspective, figure that out. And then he will start to do the necessary problem solving. And also I notice that he is risk willing. Being an experienced engineer, he's not caught in the risk of wanting to do 100% perfect solutions. He knows that it would be a hindering. So he accepts to move forward and to be innovative and creative and dynamic. he have to accept not perfect solutions. And I get the sense that also he tries to role model that in his area of responsibility. He's very much aware of creating a climate around him where people dare to take charge and to take the responsibility on them. And the way, as I understand, the way he's doing it is by being transparent and approachable. People can reach out, and he likes to discuss also technical issues. He likes to discuss, I guess he likes to discuss dilemmas, what would be clever, not clever. And by doing that and sharing where he might himself have an issue, a doubt maybe, that creates what we would say psychological safety. It's okay to talk about things that are not perfect. That's my impression. And that would create trust in him. And that would support his ambition to create a culture where people dare to take over the responsibility. His good advice is follow your heart. That's what he's doing himself, he talked about. And then the last thing, and I guess that Grundfos would be happy to know, I mean, of course they know that, it is his loyalty. He's loyal to all the processes, as I said, to individuals, to his group, to his colleagues, leadership colleagues, and to the bigger company, Grundfos. And still, he have to be inspired. That is the kind of underlining nurture to his big level, high level of loyalty.